Good morning, church. What a joy it is to welcome you this day as we come together, I understand, on this last full day of summer. Those that know cued me in that fall arrives tomorrow evening around 10 o'clock. Anybody know for sure? Well, all I can say for sure is that even though the days change and we get half days perhaps of summer and half days of fall, God's grace and God's forgiveness are with us 100% of the time, all the time. And that indeed is a joy to celebrate. So may our hearts, our minds, and our spirits be tuned in to God this day. And may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Good morning. Everybody sounds nice and with it today, despite the rain. The rain got you loosened up, maybe. All sunshine makes a desert, I've just been told by one who knows. Okay. Well, we're glad you made it out this morning. And if you're visiting, please see one of the ushers after the service. They have a little packet for you. And I hope you will come back and visit us, be with us again, and everyone else too. And bring a friend. We got some empty seats here. Okay, let's see. If you notice somebody missing that is normally sitting in the pew with you, please give them a call and see how they are. I think of that every Sunday, and then I don't think of it again until the next Sunday, and I should make myself a note. Okay, let's see. There are some announcements this week. Let me see. I'm not Bruce, you might have guessed, but he is... I think the weather just kind of dampened his spirits today or something. You know, sometimes it's hard to get up and get going. There will be new member orientation. Be sure and read that if you're thinking about becoming a member. The women's book study is next Wednesday. You might want to do that. And you need to get articles in if you have anything to get in the newsletter. Please notice the Disciple Fast Track, too. That's a study that's going to be going on. It's not long, but it's very inclusive, and it should be very good.
Uh-huh. You can, I've got about four books, so if you don't have internet access, that's fine. If you can order yours online, that's great. I don't really have a sign-up sheet, but it is 24 weeks instead of 34 weeks. You will read no more than 5 chapters a day, which is, if you've gone through Disciple 1, is a significant improvement. And we will not meet for 2.5 hours. I believe it's like 1 hour and 20 minutes. So the orientation will be this Thursday, back in the room outside the coffee room. Hope to see you there.
Okay, and I would recommend it. I did take Disciple 1, and there's always something to learn. You know, isn't that why you come to church? There's always something, some more little tidbit to learn or something that you read before, but it didn't quite hit you the same way that it hit you now. Souls for Souls is back. Please read that. And the Cutlery fundraiser. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Don't forget to choir. Come sing with us. And if you want to play bells, come ring with us. We'd love to play with you. Okay. Got it. please stand for the call to worship? Follow along in your bulletin, please. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's holy name.
Give praises to our God. Tell God's wonderful works.
The Lord brings quail to eat in the evening and bread of heaven in the morning.
God causes fire to flow from the solid rock, turning dry desert into river.
Shout to the Lord. Proclaim all the miracles that bless the people with life.
Give thanks to our God.
And let's join together in the opening prayer. Caretaker God, as we wander in the wilderness of our lives, lead us with your cloud by day and with your pillar of fire by night, that we may never lose our way. Bless us with your presence, Holy One, that we may know the strength of your hand and the tender mercy of your love. Feed us with your bread from heaven, that we may taste your spirit and shout your praises. Amen. And let's sing our hymn of praise, number 98.
May be seated and the children may come on up.
Well, good morning.
How is everyone today? Are you all sleeping? No? Are you wide awake?
Yes.
Did you have a good breakfast? Did you have to use an umbrella this morning?
No, you just got wet or it's not raining out anymore.
It's not raining out. Did you see the rain coming down? Oh my goodness. It was raining cats and dogs. You heard it. It was raining cats and dogs and I even stepped in a poodle. Oh, a puddle. Okay, yes.
It was really coming down. But do we need rain?
Yes. What does the rain do?
It gives them water. Did you get a drink of water today?
I had a drink of...
And some juice? You got some water? I had water, I had milk, and I've had 4 cups of coffee.
Not decaf either.
Yes. So I've had lots of water today. Makes me strong and healthy. I don't know about the coffee, but the juice is good and the milk's good. And the rain outside is good because it waters the earth. Some of my grass has been dead. It needed rain to make it green again. You've got a boo-boo. What'd you do? Did you slip and fall? Baseball bat? Sister hit you with a skillet? No. What happened? You were climbing and you jumped and you got a boo-boo. No. Did you get any stitches? No, just a boo-boo. All right. So that, you know, it's amazing how Band-Aids make things feel better. That just makes them feel better just like that. As soon as a Band-Aid goes on, it feels better. I don't know how that works. That's pretty neat. God does the same thing. We have boo-boos. God fixes them just like that. We need water outside. We need God's Spirit in us, on us. Just like we need water in us, we need God in us. Because God helps us. Jesus helps us every day. Without water, we would die. Without Jesus, we die. I have never seen you all so quiet in my life. What kind of juice did you feed them? We need some more of that some days, huh? So remember, God loves you, always wants to be with you. Let's pray. Lord God, we are grateful for these children. When they're energetic, when they're quiet, when they're loud, when they're soft, but always in the midst of it all, you are there with us. And we pray that your Spirit will be within us, that we might always feel you near. Bless these boys and girls as they live and grow, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. How about some cups today? Two little babies coming over. Wow. Oh, I got some bulletins here too if you want one. You want a hard one? Okay. You'll take two. Okay, let me see if I have, yeah, well here, she needs two, you need one, you need one, you need one, you need one, that's two, but it's the same as the hard one. You want two hard ones? Okay, all right, age level.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. This is a good story. The whole congregation of Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the
flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard of your complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp, and when the dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Thanks be to God. Okay, at this time, the ushers will come forward for the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Generous God, you provide for all our needs if we but put our trust in you. When the Israelites were hungry in the wilderness and began to complain, you gave them bread in the form of manna to eat in the morning and quail to satisfy their hunger in the evening. You gave just enough to be consumed with gratitude and trust. Generous God, help us to give with generosity this morning. with gratitude for all that we have received from your goodness, and with trust in your faithfulness. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to that time in our service for joys and concerns. You look on the back of our worship folder this morning, there are some changes to be made there. Betty, to the best of my knowledge, is home from Westmoreland Hospital. Jerry was discharged and back home. Had a mild heart attack? What was the actual day, Lou? Sunday, last Sunday. So she spent about 5 days in the hospital, some procedures, and is home and recuperating there. So I'm sure she will covet your prayers. Lois is home as well. Underneath there in personal care home, some of you may know, Sarah has passed. Her visitation is this afternoon at Snyder Funeral Home, 1 o'clock until 3, and then 6 to 8. And then her services will be here tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, burial at Irwin Union Cemetery, and then back here for a luncheon to follow. Also received Julie was having surgery this coming Wednesday. That's reconstructive surgery from her breast cancer. She's down in North Carolina, Columbia, North Carolina, South Carolina. Oh, I thought it was North. Oh, okay. So are you going down or are you going to wait? Probably on Tuesday. So for traveling mercies for Nellie as well, and then Julie for her coming surgery. Let us keep the rest of those individuals on our back page in our prayers as well as we unite our hearts and our spirits in our prayer hymn number 428, For the Healing of the Nations. Our gracious and loving God, how good it was to be welcomed by your Spirit as we entered into your home this day. We seek, O God, your presence, your grace, and your forgiveness, so that by our response and service to the hurts and the needs of the world, that indeed its destiny we may all find. O God, we know that individuals, multitudes, are adrift. We know that not everyone has a clear sense of being, of what life is about, how they are to be connected. But you are the one, O God, who seeks to be engaged within the life of each of us. You, O God, are the one who created us. You are the one who spoke, and all that is came into being. You are the one, the only, the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. And yet, in the magnitude of all of that, O God, you desire to be within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. You desire to bless us so that we, in turn, might be a blessing to others. You desire for each of us to claim Jesus Christ, your Son, as our Lord and Savior. And that we then, O God, would make and enable, allow his teachings to become alive in our lives every day. O God, we pray that your words of Scripture might become real to us. Your grace and forgiveness that is offered to us might become real to us. And that it in turn then might be offered to the world. O God, we pray for the mission and ministry of each individual and family that is here today. We pray, O God, for the hurts and the needs of people in our midst and those outside the walls in the community. We pray for health and wholeness, for healing, for comfort. O God, we pray that you, as the master physician, might intercede in the lives of people. That you, that comes to us as your Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior, that his holy presence might touch the lives of individuals. O God, use us this week wherever it is that we are found, that the light of Christ might shine and radiate forth from within us, that his words might be upon our tongues, that his hands might be our hands, that his feet might be our feet. O God, use us this week wherever we are found, that your kingdom might continue and advance within the world. O God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we share together in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we hear these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would invite you, if you are able, to please stand. Jesus has these words for us this day. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you still standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal with us who have bore the heat of the day, the burden of the day, the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, their teaching and claim upon our lives, even perhaps when words are difficult to swallow. Now, O God, in these moments that we share together, please give us rest from the activities of daily life, those things past, present, and yet to come. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our Redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. This parable of labors in the vineyards challenges us deeply. When we speak of Jesus as a great teacher, we probably have some different images that come to mind. Think of the classroom today that our teens, our youth are in, and their textbooks, some of them are on iPads. They're available online at home. They don't need necessarily to bring all their books home anymore. Teachers have incredible equipment available to them, smart boards where they just draw on or use their computer. One time a few years ago when I was doing a B presentation for one of the science classes, I stung myself and I popped the stinger out and I said, "Do you have a microscope?" And I'm looking, you know, they don't do that anymore. They put it under one and suddenly there on the blackboard is this 4-foot stinger. You could see the drop of venom on it. You could see the muscle twitching, and I'm going, holy smokes. Classrooms are organized in different ways, not like when, well, those of us 40 and above went to school, when desks were in a line and chairs perhaps in science classes were at big tables. You remember those desks, those ones that maybe were all one piece where the chair was attached and it would swivel. If you were lucky, it would go both ways. And then some of those chairs that had the arm on them for the right-handed person, if you were a lefty, well, you had to hunt for that one or two left-handed desks in the room. Or those chairs that slid back and everything slid in underneath. Or if you were lucky, you had the one where the top lifted up. But you remember those ones with the little trough cut out where your pencils would go. And that hole in the middle where, well, those desks were leftovers from the ink wells that went in there. Anybody want to admit to having an ink well when they were in school? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Any of you ever put the young lady's pigtail in front of you in the inkwell? Nobody gonna admit to that. Nobody did it 8:15 either. Well, Jesus's classroom was still even much more incredible because it just occurred wherever he was. It occurred in the temple, it occurred in the market, it occurred out in the field, it occurred wherever people were willing to listen, wherever Jesus could say some words that grabbed hold of people's attention for a few moments in the midst of their busy, hectic days of just trying to find enough food to survive. There was a landowner that had a harvest that was ready, and he needed workers. That would have grabbed attention. They wanted to work. And so he went to hire some workers. He went to the marketplace in the morning, gathered the amount of workers that he thought was going to be necessary for the day, and he sent them into the fields, agreeing to pay them the normal daily wage for the day, piece of silver, a denarii, and off they go. Well, he realizes mid-morning that he needs more workers, and so he goes back at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the scriptures tell us he goes back at noon, and he hires more workers and sends them into the field. Well, he realizes perhaps maybe there's a storm brewing. Perhaps the manager has said, man, these grapes are prime. You're going to get premium market value. We better get as many of them in today as we can. And so the landowner goes to the market again with just about an hour of work left, and he sees some more individuals, but he's curious. Why haven't they been hired? And so he says to them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? They have an interesting response that's pretty tough to counter. No one's hired us. They want to work. So the landowner hires them, sends them off, and barely an hour later, he asked his foreman to call in the workers. It's time to pay them. And for some reason, he starts with the last hired and pays them first and works his way down. Perhaps he wanted to see the surprise, the delight of those who were receiving that silver coin that represented a full day's work as he gave that over and over again to those men who worked incomplete days. Now, those who had been working all day, I'm sure, watched with intrigue, probably a little bit like Pavlov's dogs with their mouths drooling. What are we going to get? And they received their pay, just what they had been promised, a piece of silver, just what the landowner had given everybody else who had worked less than they had. Grumbling occurs, whining and complaining. What do you mean it's not fair? How much did I promise you? A piece of silver. That's exactly what you've gotten. Just what I promised. Now, if I want to be generous, that's my business. After all, it's my money. Now, as we all know, Jesus was not developing a new manual for an employer-employee relationship. He's not giving us a new system of economics, but rather Jesus is trying to instruct his disciples and you and me about what God and heaven are like. And the result was a dramatic, incredibly dramatic expression of God's grace. God's grace is unfair. And that, my friends, is a celebration. Grace is that which we do not deserve. One of my siblings hates this parable with a passion. She hates it. Oh, I only have a sister. You know who it is. You mean to tell me, David, that someone like us who were raised in the church from the day we were born and will serve God until the day we died gets the exact same thing of that scoundrel that has a deathbed conversion and dies? They get the exact same thing.
Yep.
That's not right. Tough, deal with it. God's grace is unfair. That self-centered scoundrel on his deathbed gets the same thing Mother Teresa got.
Yep.
Let's also continue, though, to look at the parable, because there's some wonderful information in the dialogue that occurs between the landowner and the unhired hands. He challenges them. Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Why are you wasting your lives away, so to speak, in a world where there is so much work to be done? Why have you remained idle in the workplace? The landowner wants a good reason for these idle people if he's going to hire them. Badly as he needs workers, he's not about to hire someone unless they have a good explanation. And their answer is beyond argument, because no one has hired us. They want to work. They want to be a part of the workforce. But no one has hired them. No one's brought them the news. There's a job. Come and work. But it's a parable. The response, because no one has hired us, represents a waiting world. It's a picture of the emotions of millions of people around the world who go through their lives on a daily basis with a sense of emptiness, all the while waiting for someone to hire them. We hear it now all the time. Oh, Pastor, oh, David, the churches aren't what they used to be. Look at the empty pews. Where are all the people? Folks, statistically, 60% of the people in a community have no church connection. They are waiting to be hired. They are waiting to experience God's grace and forgiveness. They are waiting to hear the good news that there is indeed one who offers a sense of purpose, a sense of peace. There are multitudes, millions of people waiting to hear this good news. They need to experience, we need to experience the power, the presence, the grace, the forgiveness, the generosity of Almighty God that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Will we offer Jesus Christ in all his unfairness to a world that stands and waits? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, the world waited and you sent your son Jesus Christ. The world still is waiting, and you are sending us, empowered by his presence, to offer his grace and forgiveness that comes unjustly to each and every one of us, and yet it comes. Oh God, send us out into the world to be your servants, to be your disciples. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Now, our closing hymn this morning, number 436, that's where you're going to find the words, but Diane's going to use a more user-friendly singable tune, which is, Oh Jesus, I Have Promised, but the words on 436.
Thank you.
our gracious and loving God. A task is before us, a task of love, a task of grace, a task of forgiveness. The voice of you is calling each and every one of us to go into the world. Continue, O God, to bless us, to strengthen us, and may we be your eyes, your ears, your voice, your hands, and your feet as we go to your children. Where we go, O God, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.